The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. There's no money riding on this question, so it doesn't matter whether you get it right or wrong. But does anybody know who wrote, and there's a clue right there, this line, "Hope is the thing with feathers"? Hope is the thing with feathers. Well, you got to go back to school. It's only written by one of the great poets of this country in the 19th century, Emily Dickinson. Emily Dickinson, she wrote that. And what she was saying is that hope is like a bird. It's in our hearts. No matter what's going on, it's always singing. It's always doing what birds do well, reminding us that there is hope. And hope is certainly one of the themes that runs throughout Advent, just as light and darkness do. Waiting, being patient, and not just a passive patience or waiting, but an active patience and waiting, saying, "Lord, come soon." That's what we're supposed to be praying during Advent. You know, if we want God to come, as we're told in Scripture, we got to pray that he comes soon, because that's what we want. We want him to bring to fulfillment his plans, and we hope for that. We hope for that, and we hope as well that we have a part to play in God's fulfillment. But of course, a lot of that's up to us, whether in fact we do have part to play in the fulfillment of God's plan. And hope is one of what we call, and here's a theology lesson for you, hope is what we call one of the three theological virtues. The three theological virtues are faith, hope, and love. And we call them theological because they're rooted in God, theo, God. God is faithfulness. He is hope. He is love. We hear that in Scripture. God is love. He is the fulfillment of faith, hope, and love. He is the foundation of faith, hope, and love. So when we hope, what we're doing, in a sense, is borrowing from God's hope. And because it is a virtue, it means something that we have to practice. It's not just some feeling. Real hope, because it's rooted in God, is both an act of being and an act of doing. So we got to find out ways of how we live hope, how we act on it. And hope is not wishful thinking. It's not, you know, "I hope that everything turns out well," or that "I hope this or that," or however we define it. Hope is a reality already in our midst. It is fulfilled because it's about God, because he is hope. So when we look forward to the celebration of the incarnation, that's a sign of how God has incarnated his hope in the world, in human flesh, and in us in an ongoing way. But we have to find ways to live that hope. And not just to live it for ourselves, but because God, who is hope, gives himself to us, we who are living hope have to give ourselves to others. We've got to go out and give hope. We have to teach hope. We have to challenge the reality of hope in the world. So we need to be a light to the world. We need to be a sign of God's faith, hope, and love in the world. We need to really be on fire so that we can be a sign of hope. And as we look at the world, now this is nothing new. It's been throughout the history of humankind. There's violence, and we look at it, we say, what is that all about? How can you do that? How can you do that to a child? How can you do that to a people that don't have a way of fighting back or protecting themselves? I mean, it's all over the place. We have domestic violence. We have sex trafficking. How can those things happen? It's because people turn away from God. They reject faith. They reject hope. They reject love. And it's a choice that we make when we do that, when we reject. It's not something that's natural. I mean, we may have a tendency to do that because of original sin, but because of the incarnation of Christ and his death and resurrection, we have all the help we need to latch on to faith, hope, and love, and to live it deeply, even giving our lives for one another. And so the hope that we are supposed to be practicing during Advent and every day of the year is real, it's rooted in God, and as one commentator put it, he said, it's a hard hope. Hard hope. So it's not the hope that Ethel Merman sings, everything's coming up roses. No, that's not the hope we're talking about. It's a hard hope because there is a reality behind it, who is God. And as we hear from the second letter of Peter today, everything's going to dissolve in flame when God comes. It's all going to be burnt away. And what Peter is saying, don't get caught without hope, without faith, without love. Don't get caught in your sins, because if you are caught in your sins, you will not share in the kingdom of God. So it's a hard hope. Yes, we hope actively to be with God, but we got to act on it each and every day. We have to take advantage of the gifts God has given us so that we can truly live the gift of hope and not just be wishful thinkers. Say, you know, God's nice, you know, he wouldn't damn anybody, so forth and so on. But again, the readings that we have throughout Advent is God is coming again. He will judge. Yes, he's a merciful judge, but he's also a judge. And so the judgment will be severe. But again, as Christians will say, oh yeah, I want to be ready, and that's where hope comes in. Because the church gives us what God has given to the church so that we can be ready. We can go to confession anytime. We can be anointed. We're celebrating the sacrament of the Eucharist right now so that we can grow in hope, grow in our faith, grow in our love, grow in hope. And every day we're called to do that. If you think in today's gospel, we're also introduced to the character of John the Baptist. We always talk about John the Baptist in Advent. He fulfills Isaiah's prophecy of one in the desert calling out. And what did John preach? He preached repentance. Repentance because of sin. And we find out a little bit later when Jesus starts his public ministry, he says the same thing. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So there again, we're being told what we need to do, and that wasn't just for the people of Jerusalem or the Pharisees or Sadducees or whoever else came out to Jesus. That's for us to hear as well. Are we repenting of our sins? Are we constantly allowing God's grace to shine forth in our lives so that we can see how we have failed and then repent of those sins, make whatever kind of restitution or repair we can so that we can live more fully faith, hope, and love. But we have everything that we need to really flourish and to live hope and to be a sign of God's hope in the world, which is desperately needed for not just ourselves, not just our city, but the whole world. We have it. We have it because it's not a feeling. It's not a particular activity. It is God. It is God. And just as we carry God in our very flesh and blood when we receive him in his flesh and blood, So too we carry him as the faithful God, as the God who gives us hope, as the God who really shows us what love is all about. Love even unto death. So it's the challenge is always there, and as a community of believers, we're supposed to come together again and again and challenge one another to go deeper, to go further. We're called, the scripture says, to correct one another. We're called to carry one another on our backs when the going gets rough. We're called even at times to let go of our own lives so that we can be people of hope, of faith, and love. So as we continue our Advent journey, and again, even though we focus on particular things during Advent in a particular way, we're supposed to be focusing on them every day of every year. But in particular, hope. Do we really have hope? That deep down conviction that God is who he says he is for us and that we accept him into our lives, even though that hope may be hard, or do we go our own way? That's always the question, one or the other, hot or cold, not lukewarm. So let's pray as we continue our Eucharist, as we continue our Advent journey, that we'll think about God as our hope and thank God that we have this hope in the world. And then this coming week, to look for ways to bring the light of hope, which is of God, to other people. And I think you all know people who live in darkness and despair, especially because of this pandemic. How can we be hope? Show them the true hope that lives in our lives because of God, and how we can bring that hope in what we do and say to other people.